council will come to order. I'd like to establish a quorum. Let the record reflect that Dan Barco, Stu Martinez, Don Greiner, and the mayor is in attendance. Adele McAfee, counselor, is out very sick. I'd also like to, at this time, have everybody rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'd like to ask Bob Metcalf, our coach and athletic director of the high school, to lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Are there any added agenda items?
Yes, we need to, we have a liquor license. Some little shop's going to put wine in baskets, and they want to start Christmas baskets and things. So it's called Mountain View Design and Floral and Interiors. So anyway, a liquor license to sell wine to go. And then I want to talk about grading our new parking lot and stuff over at the City Hall, and I got a couple quotes and see if you guys want to do that. So call it grading the parking lot at City Hall. Okay. Are there any others, Patty?
Okay.
You want to put those at the end?
Yeah, put them at the end.
Okay. Thank you. I would entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda.
So moved.
I have one correction that should be made in the minutes. Can we do that later?
Do a second.
I'll second.
Are there any comments?
There's one on page 7 of the minutes. It says that there's something about, I have it all marked here. It says here under 13 social gaming that the state holds exclusive in reserve bingo and those associated kind of games as does not regulate them in any way. That's not true. The state regulates them all the way, just the game, the bingo games.
And holds regulation to the state.
Okay. Yeah, all the bingo is only regulated by the state.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the only correction.
Okay. Are there any other comments? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. And now we're at a point in time, a public comment. Are there any public comments?
Yes, Mr. Mayor and to the council. My name is Bob Metcalf. I'm the head football coach over here at the high school. Some of my kids had some questions and concerns about coming and talking to you guys about some support. What I'm going to do now is I'd like to introduce the team and the kids that came to address you, and then one student will address you, at which point we'll then exit and go back to school because we have a frost-off game going on at this time. Down here, one of our seniors and captain, Dion Mock, Michael Lakeberg, lineman, defensive back and wide receiver, Eli Allen, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, Chad Van Cleve, one of our other senior captains, Levi Penta, running back and receiver. We have our O-line, D-line over here, Tyler Moon. One of our other captains back here, Garrett Searcy, senior. Over here, quarterback, defensive back, Garrett Dolgren. Down here to my right, we have running back and D-lineman, Christian Wallace. And the gentleman who's going to be addressing you guys and asking you for a little favor, Dan Brewer, O-lineman, D-lineman.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
All right. We as a team feel that the community doesn't support its youth, but actions speak louder than words. As a team, we are asking the town to shut down on October 21st to come support your Lapine Hawks football team as we face our cross-county rivals, the Sisters Outlaws, during the homecoming game.
Thank you very much, and we'll expand the dialogue on this at another time. So thank you very much for coming.
What time's your game?
Kickoff will be at 7 p.m. Friday.
Okay. And what's the request?
We're asking that the mayor consider with the council to issue, to deliberate and see what they can do to, you know, what they can do as a city to come help support us and get the city to come
So what you want, I'm assuming, is something like a proclamation or something where we mm-hmm. would say we're proclaiming that Lapine Hawks, everyone attend, you know, something that would say to people in the town, everyone show up at the football game, or maybe you have a parade, or you have a bonfire ahead, I don't know what all you do, but all of that stuff. But you want them at that game Friday night.
That's exactly it. We haven't had, since I went to school here, we haven't had bonfires and parades since I went to school here. Those things just kind of went away. And
okay.
We didn't want this to just be a school homecoming meeting. We were asking that the city make a proclamation. We didn't want to tell you what to do, but whatever you could do to do along those lines to make this a citywide homecoming week. All the businesses down there, everybody show up. Working with the athletic director right now to contact the mayor as well as and or the Deschutes County Commissioner to come down and do the coin toss at the beginning of the game and have everybody come down. That's what the kids want us to do.
I think this is a grand idea. I think it shows a movement on part of the community to tie us all together. I know the council, I hope I can speak for the council in supporting this whole idea of we are a community and we do have the signs out there saying that we support our youth and I think we ought to take that to heart and try to do our very best. The proclamation is very doable so I will reserve some more comments about this to the end of the councilor's conversation. Does that sound all right?
Sure.
I can't thank you enough for coming. Thank you, fellas.
You know, I think we could do a proclamation. It's really the trick is if we do a proclamation and all of that kind of thing and it's getting it out to the public where you know, so we'd have to come up, what we'd have to do is work up a way to get maybe the TV station down or and get on the radios, those types of things. Or otherwise, it's a piece of paper that nobody will see. So we need to do it, and then that creates the buzz, and then get it out there, and maybe put flyers around at the grocery store on the counters and some things.
And you go to every business that has a reader board, get it up on the reader board.
Yeah.
Get it on the cable, on the
coordinate
ad
that
channel.
Get maybe it in the chamber.
That's why I want to talk to you. You got a truck, that flathead truck.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I do know that some parents are putting together a tailgate deal going on down there. Youth ball will be there. And so the kids wanted to come and ask.
Well, I think we would probably, in a proclamation, we'd say this is the homecoming football week, or do you want it just for the day? Because you really want to turn out that day. Remember, people's brains, they're all over the place. So if your real gig is, if you're not having a bonfire on Thursday night or other things, but if you want them on Friday, you know, let's proclaim it Friday, the Lapine Hawks homecoming day, the city of Lapine, and the mayor proclaims, you come up with all this stuff. And you use that and get it out there to tell people, be at that high school at 6 p.m. or something for pregame stuff, or we attach a schedule to it.
Just like the one you wrote up for James.
Yeah.
That one day thing.
Right.
What was that?
That was a death.
Gotcha. And I tell you what, if this paper they already see, this will be put in my room for the kids to see how their community works and how government works and all those things and how to go through the process and achieve these things. So this year proclamation, have everybody come down, next year bonfire parade and go from there.
Cool. Okay. Sounds good.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
That
sure empties out the audience, doesn't it?
Yeah. Will you have time to get the newspaper?
Yes, I will put that in. You can work on some wording.
Okay, great. Great.
Let's do that.
Are there any other public comments? Item number 7, request for funds for Centennial Park.
And Mr. Mayor, you should say
Stevenson.
Centennial Park.
Yeah.
It was my mistake.
And our agenda does say Centennial Park.
Oh, but the attachment says Heritage Park.
Levine, okay. What I'm here for today, but can you see?
No, that's yeah. fine. That's
all
fine.
Those boys are taller than me. I'm at university. What I'm here for today, as you know, I absolutely love Lapine, and I like working on projects, and I've been before you numerous times. What this is about, since Lapine goes right into from fall to winter, summer to winter practically, I've raised enough money for 12 flags, banners, for our beautiful light poles. I need to raise $170 more for the Welcome to Lapine for the front of Centennial Park. And we're in the process. We're going to take down the signs that are up now, and they will be rolled and put away. We won't do this every year. And I have these designed so that it looks like we're going from fall into winter, because it would be such a short span to do for fall and then winter. So I'm asking the city council if they would sponsor these two signs at a cost of $170. They're $85 a piece. And then that would give us a banner on each and every one of our light poles and welcome people into our community. What else I would like that I have put on the bottom of my sheet, I would like maybe you to budget. I have hit the business people I have hit them hard. With doing the sign in Centennial Park, with doing the flagpole in Centennial Park, and with doing the first set of banners.
That's it?
Yeah. With doing the first set of banners, all the business people donated. And they did that to make LeBlanc look beautiful because they got no sponsorship from it. Their name is not on the banners. So they have pulled together and done it again, but I would like maybe you to budget for spring, and we will do three seasons if we could add spring for next year. And I would like the city council to budget $1,200 so that they could do all of the banners themselves, so I wouldn't have to go to the businesses one more time. I don't mind going to the businesses, but with the way the economy is and the way we've hit them so many times, I just feel that $1,200 to have the city behind this project, if you could think about budgeting for the spring. I'm not sure when you do your budget, but if we could do $170 to finish this project, we'll get the signs up this next week. They're all done, ready to go up. And then think about in the spring. And then we'll just put them away, and each year until they have to be replaced, we'll just reuse them. We'll pretty much be done with that project for a while. Then I'll think of something else to work on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to support the idea of sponsoring these two banners for $170.
I would like to move that we sponsor those two banners for $170.
A second.
Question?
Question.
Yes, sir.
What fund will it come out of?
Oh, lots.
Lots?
Okay. You know, for that amount, we've got miscellaneous. We have a community beautification type fund, okay. And I think there's 20,000 in it. We haven't really spent any of it. So, 100 and some bucks. Now, if you did the bigger
budgeting,
one,
the budgeting for the next round.
But just for my own knowledge, you've got the ones that you had up before, so you're going to get this for fall. You must already have summer ones then.
The summer ones are up right
okay.
now.
Okay, so they're already
right.
So
right, and we're going to take them down, go fall, winter, and then hopefully we won't have a long winter. I would like to have spring ones, maybe with spring bulbs put up. And
right.
Just make it look
so,
pretty.
So at this point, two have been bought by the business community, and this will be theirs. Okay. Who is the, is this a chambery deal, or are you just yourself?
I'm just myself.
So when someone writes a check, do they write them to you?
No, I have, Jane at the chamber I've been having it looks more professional. I've had her take the funds for okay. me, and then we have written a check to Books, Boxes, and Viet designed okay. them for me.
So it kind of goes through the chamber
process. Yeah, I do.
And at the chamber, we've been getting volunteers to put them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing I was going to ask. Who gets on a boom truck and puts them up to someone?
It's a ladder.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Stu, we have enough money in our fund, and this budget's done through next July, so if we were going to do it, it would come out of the budget rent. We can do that.
Well, I wasn't worried so much about this. It was the budgeting for
the 12.
Future.
No, the 1200, we could do it.
Okay.
So you wanted to authorize it so she could plan, and then we would know that it's going to come out of, and her and I will work on the exact fund that will come out of. But we have the money. We don't want to do these all the time, so we've got to be careful.
Are you suggesting that we do it now?
Well, if she's got to design it, you're going to do it. I guess it's out of this budget year. You could authorize it, and then she can plan.
I don't need the money right now.
No.
Other than the $170 for yes. these two banners. All but right. I would like to know that when late winter comes, I can authorize to have a design done up and say, go ahead with it. Know the bunny is there.
Yeah. With all that having been said, I will entertain a motion to appropriate $1,200 to pay for 14 spring banners.
Mm-hmm. Before we do that, shouldn't we vote on the original motion? Mm-hmm.
Didn't we do that? You guys aren't paying attention. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Record reflect the ayes have it. Now then, is there a motion to approve the sponsorship at the amount of $1,200 for 14 spring banners, as described by Mrs. Stevenson?
I move we do that. We sponsor those banners.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Okay.
Thank you, Linda, very much.
Don't forget about our next time.
I'm ready.
Item number 8 is resolution 2011-014, a resolution to provide for a code ordinance revising, amending, restating, and codifying certain existing general ordinances and to provide for a substantive legal review of ordinances for the City of Lapine, Oregon.
Those are your three Oregon cities. A couple of you are there. You did see the booth, but prior to that, this company had came and met us and actually had a meeting with Patty. I let her do it. But it comes to your ordinances. Right now, they are in a three-ring binder. And, you know, because we don't have as many, because you've only been going for a few years, it all is fine. But what happens over time is because they're there forever, kind of, they grow. And pretty soon, you've got a thing this thick. And someone wants to know how you what ordinance regulates something. But they don't really know the title of the ordinance, and they don't know the year it was passed. Well, it becomes problematic. Right now, we just thumb through.
Yeah.
But codifying your ordinances is actually pretty important, because those are your highest, basically, laws that you pass. And they are around until they're rescinded. They could be around 10, 20 years. And we have no system where you can search. Like, say if you want to know about gaming. If you do this, what you do is you can just search gaming, and any ordinance that brings up gaming is going to pop up. If it's an ordinance on franchise fees, well, we've got three or four franchises with different companies. You hit franchise, any ordinance that has that word in it, it's going to pop up. Most cities have someone do that work. And this company is part of the league. They're supported by the league, or they're involved. And it costs us a couple grand to start now, where they take all of our past ordinances, they put them all together, they check to make sure that you haven't done something real weird or illegal, and then they build kind of an index where you can cross-reference them for different things, plus you can then search them. And every time we pass an ordinance, we send it to them. They then update the index and everything, and you end up with a very professional book, plus you can do it online. And it's one of those kind of, it cost us about $200,000 to $2,000 to do it, annually probably $250 a year, if we pass the same amount of ordinances we've been passing. For them to, every time we send it in, they go through it, they then enter it into the system, and so on. I was just talking to, Ben's doing it internally, the city of Ben, but most all cities. And the lady just said, you know, a lot of people, they come 50 years later, and they have got a mess. And it'll cost thousands and thousands to get them in order. So I thought, you know, Patty, why don't you met with her, give a, what did you think?
Oh, it was, I think, great, because there's a lot of cross-referencing you can do. So on a particular topic, subject topic, you can quickly, you know, get that ordinance that it relates to.
We're going to pass a lot of ordinances ahead, so we may spend a little more money, because all sewer and water ordinances have to be redone, from rates to an ordinance on cross collection, backflow. Theirs don't transfer over. That we are a different entity. So at some point, every ordinance they have that still needs to be done will end up coming through here, and you will have a night where you just pass ordinances.
May I ask a question on this? I see that there's 100 books, I think, that we're going to get, art books.
100?
100 single, oh, that's a...
Well, that's how many, she looked at what we, our current ordinances.
Yeah.
And that's how we guesstimated the price at 2,000, is to take all the pages we've done so far and then get it in order.
Okay, then they're going to give us a hard copy of that?
Yeah, well, it'll be a book, like, I mean, but it changes all the time.
I understand that.
She can give you the details.
But we're going to have it online also, so anybody that wants to get online and check those ordinances again.
Yeah, I went on this company's website, and then, like, it says, well, you click on the state of Oregon, the whole country's there. Yeah. You click on Oregon, then it's got cities listed. So I went to Canby. You click on Canby, it pops up with all the ordinances, and then I just clicked in. In fact, I might have done gaming just because we were talking about it. I clicked in gaming, and it popped up a bunch of ordinances anywhere the word gaming was in it or something. And then you could go through and see that's the one that's relevant, this one's relevant. And the city, there were several cities listed. So, yes.
So, go ahead. Well, would that be available on our website as well as theirs?
Well, I'd have to see that. Maybe we link it to where you on ours you could hit. Our ordinances are going to be listed by number on our thing.
They are.
And I'm assuming they must have a deal where they link it over. If you clicked on it, you could.
So I think Deschutes County has something like that, where you can search by name, by word. And
You almost can't find things without it. Like I say, we only got 15 or 20. You can just spend the time going through them. But
I will tell you that when I was looking for the number of people on the committees one time and looking at the ordinances, it was unbelievable trying to find, okay, we got this many. Oh, no, that's replaced by 2009.
Yeah.
And then 2010. So when I saw this email, this program's called Folio, I can't imagine that we can go much further down the road without having that. It's fantastic.
It's something to get started before your new staff gets on, and so that it just makes it clean and nice. And now the institutional memory starts to leave. people that right now you can say, oh, well, we passed that in 09. But the new people coming won't know if it was passed in 07, 08, 09, 10. They weren't here.
Right.
And so then suddenly they're fumbling through this book trying to figure out when was something passed. Adele sent an email and she thinks that we should have the law firm do it, suggested the law firm do it. I did not, I guess I didn't think that Jeremy and them would, at $150 an hour, you're not going to do a lot of work for $2,000. But, her other comment was that, why do you need them to review them to see if they're legal? We've already paid someone to review them. And then thirdly was that there ought to be some people on staff that can do this. That was just her comment on it. And I told her I'd pass that off.
Okay. I think this is a grand opportunity that we're going to get. We're doing it at a time where it's not going to be a big budget item, and I think it'll serve the city well, and there are several things that we need to do, and I just think this is one of them. So having said that, I would entertain a motion to pass resolution 2011-014 as described.
I'd make that motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Are there any further questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Rick, what would you estimate our cost, additional cost, will be when we have to run the water and sewer paperwork through this?
Well, you may spend $500.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, they say that they may have 10 or... Because I'm assuming a lot of their ordinances we'll be able to get rid of, or you'll combine them and some things. But, you know, it's basically $20 a page. Most of our ordinances are a page or two. So if you passed 10 new ordinances and they were all one page, it would be $200. If they're two pages, it'd be $400.
So does this estimate include our zoning ordinances and land use?
All ordinances. Those aren't existing, and that's in this $2,000. They're going to bring us up to now.
That's my question.
Future, it's $20 a page.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Most ordinances, you may have some that are 4 or 5 pages, but most ordinances are... we pass about 5 a year. 6.
Well, let's try to keep it down to that.
Stu, any comment? Okay. Don?
Well, I'm in favor.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Item 9 is Ordinance 2011-06, Animal Ordinance. An ordinance prohibiting dogs from running at large, providing that certain acts constitute a nuisance, authorizing the impoundment and disposal of dangerous dogs, providing penalties for violations, and establishing the effective date hereon by declaring an emergency. I'll open a public hearing on this ordinance at this time and ask for a staff report.
You guys have obviously been following this a little bit. We, as you well know, the sheriff they have a hard time enforcing the county ordinance in the city. The sheriff kind of thinks they can, but the crew below him doesn't, and it's a little hard to get it all through the system. And we started down this path, and then the sheriff kind of was like, Rick, don't do this. We can just kind of do it the way we're doing it, and we'll educate everyone. And so their attorney called me from the county and said, he had issues, and it's been kind of all over the board. And so I kind of then thought, oh, what do we do? And then we had a dog complaint here a few weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and the man came in all upset. I took him to the sheriff's office and had a discussion with the lady at the counter who said that they can't enforce the county ordinance in the city. And so I explained to her that that's what the deputy told the man when he went to the house. So I said that there's a disconnect then. because I, you know, up the food chain, they're saying it differently. And she agreed, and anyway, I had the sergeant over here, and then the sheriff, the captain called me, Mr. Utter from Bend, and I told him, we are passing an ordinance. And then, if you want to go out and cite them under the county ordinance, because one deputy thinks you can, cite them under that. The next deputy can do it under the city ordinance, because they think that's what you do. I don't, frankly, and then there's the state law, and I don't care which one you cite them under, quite honestly, nor does the person with the complaint. So, what we'll do is this, will, and the sheriff's okay with this, we'll pass it, then we'll have the sheriff's department attorney's going to drop an IGA that then allows them to enforce this. This is word for word the county ordinance. So it's the same ordinance. One, instead of saying Deschutes County on it, it says City of Lapine. It's not a leash law, because that's a discussion for a later day. But it does say if your neighbor's dog's continually barking and bugging you, you can call them. If it's on your property, you can call them. If it's biting, if it's, you know. So it's got some things in it, and they're willing to take care of the complaint. And they did go over and cited these people in Huntington Meadows, of course. Where would we be without it? So we need to do it. And then they aren't going to start the IGA until we pass it, because they don't want to spend the money and time on it if you're not going to pass it. And then the lady that had the dog, of course, the kid that got bit in the park with his dog a year ago, has come in and asked me, it's been a year, have you done anything? So I think it's time to get off the dime on it, pass it, and the county will get an IGA done, and then they'll enforce it. And in the meantime, they are enforcing the county state law one.
Question. If you go to 1.3, definition of at-large, at-large means a dog or other animal found off the premises of the owner or keeper, and then it goes back to while the dog or animal is not under complete control of the captive person. Does that include cats?
There is no, cats are not picked up, and there is no leash law or no laws on cats.
But cats are a pain in the neck.
And is a cat an animal?
Sure is.
Yeah. Why does well, then it says animal, so it would be.
That's the way I would read it.
Yep.
I agree. This is the county ordinance.
I know.
You know, I mean, I think you guys, come on. There's no one picking up cats anywhere in the state of Oregon. So it's
can I destroy a cat that comes on my property?
I won't comment.
No comment.
Want to be on the news, the Channel 21 news.
We got feral cats running around the town, and they come onto the property, and it's really a pain.
I think that's a discussion for another day. I do understand the idea of dog or animal, but since it does, as reported, follow exactly word for word the county ordinance, I have no problem with the word being in there.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't address birds who fly in either.
Even though it's the county ordinance, I would think they would have something to the exception, because I didn't see it anywhere in here regarding law enforcement dogs being an exception.
You know, they probably don't have to. It's, you know, in other words, you may pass some sort of a law. You know, I mean, I'm assuming.
I know in an ordinance that we passed at the fire district, we had to specify guns prohibited on fire district property except law enforcement. They were an exception, and it had to be spelled out.
Sheriff and them have reviewed this, and they would be the owner of the police dog, and they didn't say anything about wanting to have that.
Wouldn't they be under direct supervision of their handler? Mm-hmm. No.
Now when they tell them to go chase the guy.
But to me, that speaks of them being under the control of their handler. I mean, they're trained to respond to their handler.
Aren't they seen as an officer of the law and not a dog?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's what has always been my take on it, is that they are really not a dog.
good point, Lori. Thank you.
Okay, then 1.10. Injures or kills an animal or a fowl belonging to another person. We have a person that feeds the damn geese, which causes the geese to land in unnamed yard, where the dog is on unnamed person's private property, and if unnamed person's dog happens to kill some of those damn geese because the neighbor is feeding said damn geese, I don't think we need to hold that unnamed person's dog responsible.
Well,
so that foul doesn't really belong to somebody else.
Let me put in a piece here. I have had 4 rabbits and 6 chickens eaten and killed on my property by, I know basically where these 2 dogs are from, and those are foul. Now, Dan, you were starting to say something about those geese don't belong to a person.
Right. I mean, if there's somebody's geese, if they...
They're wild
pet geese or something.
They're wild geese that they're being fed by a human being.
But they don't belong to that human being.
Oh, you want to try to tell them that?
I'm just interpreting the...
I know.
Okay. Any other comments?
I think, you know, if this has worked for the county for some time, it probably would work for us.
I would say that's why we have had nothing for years. This is a start, and then you'll be able to start tweaking it, but we know we went through with the chickens and all the rest of it. I think that we owe it. I was here, and I've been through these dog complaints. And while we can all have fun with this and talk about all these little things, this needs to be in place so that the next time some pit bull dodges across the park and lays into someone, there is no indecision over that the person could be cited. Yeah. Or the person in Huntington Meadows that has 5 dogs behind them that bark all night long, every night, and the cops have been out 5 or 6 times, that those people are cited. And, you know, it's all kidding aside. And then we can worry about geese and cats and other things another day. But if we don't pass this, our citizens are going to continue to have the problems with dogs. And dogs are the majority of the problems, not cats and geese.
It's the dog's owners that are the problem.
Well,
no argument.
So
I see no problem with the ordinance as it stands. I'll make a motion that we pass ordinance number 2011-06 as ordinance prohibiting dogs from running at large.
Second.
What happened to public comment?
You have to do public comment.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to clear up something. It's a city ordinance, and the county sheriffs are going to enforce it.
Yes.
Do we have this going on with other things already?
Yeah, well, we'll have an intergovernmental agreement that allows them to do that.
And how do they find out about the city ordinances?
Who?
The sheriff's department.
Well, no, it's this ordinance. They're not enforcing other ordinances.
Yeah.
It's this ordinance.
Wendy, what he's saying is when we pass this ordinance, we will forward it to them. Their lawyers and our lawyers will draw up an IGA. They will know about it, and it will get disseminated to everybody.
Okay.
mean to their deputies.
To their deputies, yeah. But the interesting part of this is we know that deputies rotate throughout the county, mm-hmm. and we get new deputies in here all the time, and they just come from Sisters and, you know, so or someplace else. So that's an aspect of one deputy saying, yeah, it's not, we can't do that, and the other deputy saying, sure we can. So
is anybody else allowed to enforce this?
Well, we don't have our own police department, so.
Okay. Does it have to be police?
You have made a citizen's arrest.
No, I was just curious.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just trying to figure it out. It's the same as
the thing is if you were 5 miles out of town and you call with a complaint, the same deputy's going to come, and this just allows them to be able to enforce this the same.
Okay. Yeah.
The 911 call would be about somebody getting bit or something maybe like that, mm-hmm. and that would go straight to the sheriff's department.
Okay.
And in this case, howling dogs or everything, who are they going to call at 9 o'clock at night? They're going to call the sheriff's station.
Okay.
So that would be the avenue that 99 and 44, 100% of the time would take care of it.
And when this goes into effect, it's like there's no city limits. The right. county's going to enforce it, so it's the county's.
Yeah.
It's like before the city was incorporated.
Yeah. And we pay the taxes for animal control. So we're already paying for it. So this just allows them the tools to do something.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Are there any further comments? Hearing no comments, council deliberation, and Don, you want to make your motion again, please?
You close the public hearing.
Close the public hearing.
Now you, council, yeah.
Okay. I move that we pass ordinance number 2011-06 and ordinance prohibiting dogs from running at large.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll move to item 10, an ordinance 2011-07 on social gaming, an ordinance authorizing the playing and conducting of social games in private businesses, private clubs, or places of public accommodation within the city of Lapine and imposing a license fee. At this time, we'll open the public hearing on this and ask for a staff report.
At your direction, we started working on this after, obviously, we had the presentation a few months ago. You've had kind of a draft of this. We made a couple changes to reinforce the bingo issue, so none of the paternal organizations would be affected by this. They wouldn't have anyway, but just to make sure we handled that. And then, of course, the allowing the donation of food. I mean, it doesn't have to be food. It could be anything. But to where someone could ask that they make a donation of a canned food item or something, and you'll notice, you know, they can request it. You can't stand at the door and make that as a payment to play the game. So it allows the donation of food if you want to. It'd be a $100 fee for the license, an annual fee, and doesn't matter how many tables, if they got two, one, or three. So there's, and we'll have to come up, after we adopt it, then I've got to come up with a, you know, we don't have a city business license. I was thinking, oh, now you should get a little license to put on the wall, so we'll have to fake something up. You know, that they can kind of post that they are licensed for the year and so on. And we'll find two or three would be my guess. Have not had one phone call, email, or comment against it. None for it other than the people from the bars, a couple of them. So I've had no, that's my result.
I've had probably four or five comments for it, you know, from some of the clubs in town, or some of the Moose, Legion, things like that. But nothing I've talked to a couple of pastors, and they have no problem with it. So, public comments?
Does that include those electronic?
Lottery?
Yeah.
Well, lottery is regulated by the state.
Oh.
They're their machines.
Oh. Okay.
So.
Yeah.
This is basic poker games.
Just Texas Hold'em.
Yeah.
Is what social gaming relates to. No further public comments?
Wayne.
I'm sorry?
Wayne Kovacs, City of La Pine. Is this going to regulate them in any way, or does this just give them our blessing as the city? No regulation?
Other than they have to follow state law.
Yeah, okay.
So they can't take a
buy a license.
Right, yeah. And buy a license.
Yeah.
And they can do this anytime they want, right?
No, it's, well, between 2:30 and 10 o'clock, they cannot.
The bars close at 2:30 by law, or the liquor laws close them down, so.
They can't start their gambling until 10 a.m.
Huh?
They can start serving at 10 a.m.
Actually, you can start serving at 7.
Oh, really?
No, we didn't start, but yeah. We did it at 10. I don't know that anyone would want to be out there at 7 a.m.
Well, there was a time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can sell alcohol starting at 7.
Oh, yeah.
Which is late for a lot of people.
Yeah,
there was a time.
Well, some people work a graveyard shift and don't get off till noon, so that's their evening.
I can tell you where that causes trouble when I own the convenience store is fishermen. People leaving Bend and stuff heading to Madras because they're going to be on the river at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. It's 5 and 6 a.m. when they leave Bend. They get there, it's still, they hang around the parking lot for 15, 20 minutes to wait to 7 so they could put. Mm-hmm. That's actually who it goofs up. Mm-hmm. So they can take it for the weekend down the river.
Yeah.
It's not that they start drinking at 7. Mm-hmm. I hope.
Well, question. What does that $100 fee cover?
It's our cost of going out, you know, making the license a fee so that we can keep track of them and keep them in our files. And, you know, our attorneys will have spent.
Yeah.
It'll take us 5 years to pay for the cost of drawing up the ordinance. And therefore, then, it means that those who are using this and benefiting from it are over time covering the cost of doing it, and the regular citizens aren't.
Yeah. So what's the fine if they don't get a license but they do the games?
The city manager can revoke the license.
Well, if they don't get a license, they're violating state law. Because the Oregon Lottery and all that doesn't allow.
So they're not violating La Pine law?
I think if you look at it, if you've got the Oregon gambling license, like the lottery and so forth, everything, you have to adhere to their law. And if they find out that you're not adhering to the city law, they're going to revoke those licenses and take the machines out. And because those machines are pretty lucrative, I don't think most of them want them taken out. And that's why the people that I have talked to really wants us to pass this, because they're doing some of this anyway, and if they get caught, they can lose their state license. So they want it passed so that they're legal within the city.
We do have a $500 penalty.
Yeah, page 5.
Yeah.
Great, thank you.
Okay, are there any further public comments? Hearing none, council deliberations? I'll entertain a motion. You got any?
Just the one thing, the new question.
Bingo.
Okay.
Yeah. That's really been clarified, the bingo.
Okay, I move we adopt ordinance 2011-07.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to adopt the ordinance. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Let the record reflect that it's passed unanimously. And then we go to item 11, request for support of the 10-year plan to end homelessness. I believe everybody has got a copy of the Central Oregon. Okay, we know about the presentation of the plan itself. It was at our last meeting, I believe, and any discussion? Then I would entertain a motion that we support the 10-year plan to end homelessness.
I'd make that motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 The, all those opposed? Ayes have it, unanimous. And we are now at Trunk or Treat for Halloween. I sent out a description of what's going on.
I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. But I know what's going on.
Okay. I heard that in the grapevine anyway. They're going to have the Trunk or Treat, which has become quite famous. And a lot of cities are actually adopting it. And it started right here with our Park and Rec Director, Justin Cutler. It's a fantastic idea. Now, while it doesn't totally replace the, you know, going around to the businesses, because there still is a map, and I'm sure the Chamber can speak better to that. But it is, it was so successful last year, they ran out of candy.
They did.
Yeah. And so I have volunteered to set up the Trunk or Treat and participate, and I would really enjoy having anybody that wants to come down there and help me on the night of the 31st. It's from 7 to 9, I believe. And I'm going to recommend that we spend about $150. I've priced the candy at Bi-Mart, and I would say that $150 will buy us the 1,000 pieces of candy that when I spoke to Justin, he recommended that we have 1,000 pieces of candy. And that $150 would pay for that and actually allow us to buy some Halloween lights at $4.50 a 25 string, you know, to put around the trunk and, you know.
Your pickup or whatever you're taking.
Yeah, my vehicle. And then we would keep those in storage for future trunk or treats. I would, having said all that, would ask what the idea about putting up a city banner. We have a city banner, and it'd be very easy to put that up there so everybody knows who we are. Mm-hmm. So, that's...
Speaking from last year, when we were, Adele and I were there, and it started out so slow that we were giving out handfuls of candy instead of a few pieces. So, by about halfway through, they started just to pour in, and we were starting to only put out one or two pieces, so we ran out, and thankfully Justin had candy that he gave to us. But incidentally, the Chamber asked too if the Senior Center would stay open for one of the businesses, and at their meeting yesterday they approved that. So they will be open, and you will get the money it takes to put their name on the map.
I'll just kind of correct that. That it's Wise Buys that actually does the map. The Chamber's not.
Oh, okay.
So that's Steve.
Putting the band. I thought the idea of trick or Halloween was not to know who you were and everything.
I don't know.
I'm just joking. What are you going to dress up as?
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe we need to put some money in there to buy me a costume.
Your wife can decorate you.
And she will need a costume. Just wait.
I've heard that before. Okay. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for the city to participate, and it's a very limited expense. And
Ken, if I may, I have some lights I will donate to you for your trunk or whatever. I was just getting ready to get out my Halloween stuff, and I've never used
them. Therefore, we would save a little money, and anything you can find.
Okay.
Ooh, careful.
That would apply to doing something like this.
Extra candy and stuff.
Yeah, extra candy.
Yeah, I'd be happy to donate some.
Okay, thank you very much. So. I will keep it down, get 1,000 pieces of candy, and that'll be some figure between 100 and 150.
Now, is that $50? Sunday night?
It's a Monday night.
You know, just for your own resources, who you can really get it inexpensive from, and I think you'd have time to get it, is Oriental Trading.
I have to support the idea of buying in Lapine.
You're right. I agree.
I know that. I know other avenues too, but that'll work. So
I agree.
I would ask a motion to spend up to $150 for candy for the trunk or treat to have the city trunk.
Get drunk.
at the park area.
Yes, I make that motion.
Back up.
Motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it unanimously.
Now, you're looking for volunteers, correct?
Yes. And by the way, in my note, I told you that there was going to be hot chocolate and hot coffee at the booth.
You would have known.
I know. But I didn't get it.
So if you're inclined.
I'll come help you.
I may even actually be here because we're moving City Hall, yeah. And we're opening the next morning.
Oh, wow.
So Tuesday morning we open at 9 a.m. Yeah. The new building on the 1st. So I will most likely
very good
be here.
Bring your pointed hat and drift down.
Oh, I have costumes. I have costumes.
Okay, great. Thank you, Lauren.
I'd like to say that I apologize for not being here, but I have to be in Portland for an appointment at 8 o'clock on Tuesday morning, so we'll be going up on Monday, and I'll be getting back after City Hall opens on Tuesday.
Good.
Other matters. We have the liquor license for Mountain View Design, which happens to be across from the post office, if you don't know.
And then we had one other. And actually, I forgot our approval of hiring her. Which, that's why she's here. And I don't know, I have everything ready. But and I sent out to you guys an email on that. But so we want to just reaffirm
our
hiring.
Okay. But can we do that with the liquor license?
Yeah,
the
liquor license is, it's like I say, Patty called him today because I couldn't figure out why a fellow designer was needing a to-go liquor license. if you guys would like to move to approve Mountain View Designs floral and interior so that they can put wine and things in their baskets.
Okay.
I make a motion.
Requires a license.
A second?
Second.
Comments? business opportunity.
But I wonder. Never mind.
Okay.
So you can't technically, you know, they build these little baskets and all these things, and you can't throw the wine to help make the basket. You put the cellophane over it. They're selling wine, and because it's in there, and so the LLCC makes you be licensed.
But how? Do they have to, check your ID when you order one?
I have no
idea. I mean, that's what I'm asking about. I mean, I'd like to order some flowers. Are you 21?
You buy a wood eye out. The 16-year-old could walk in and say, I'm going to buy three baskets with would you put full of wine with the apples out?
Yes,
we
would. Lock with one of those baskets. Are you going to add the age of everybody?
That's not our problem.
No.
Yeah. No, and that's we could go.
They probably have a whole category within liquor laws.
For that.
Take it to the game.
Is there a motion to approve Mountain View Design?
We did that. You got a second.
Yeah, you got
a motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Unanimously approved. Then there's the redoing or updating the parking lot.
You made copies, or did you pass it out to them?
No, I gave them to you. I put them on your desk.
Oh.
I thought you were going to pass them out.
Well, I better go find them. On my desk, you could find any of them.
We're close.
Well, let's keep it
going.
Yeah.
Keep it rolling.
This is good.
You're getting through a lot quicker than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I've got a 45-minute report.
No, you don't. But maybe, yes, you do.
I'll try to condense it a little.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just have that figured in by now, Ken?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
Okay, I actually took some pictures, I didn't get a chance to print them for you, but this is, something we don't have to do, which I think you probably want to. We would take it out of our road fund gravel money, but the if you look at the parking, paid parking, is adequate for nights like this. When you kind of have that 20, 30 people there, people will be parking out in the back. And there's a big pile of dirt that was there probably when they did the property. And also, it's all unlevel. And then they're going to put that new welcome sign down there, that Lapine sign that's coming through the group. And we can't afford to pave it at all right now. But this helps get it leveled and based. And we need to make sure the water flows right. Because right now, it's just up and down and all over. This obviously was not in our budget for this project. You don't have to do it. It kind of finishes things off. So I got two bids, quotes from Vic Russell and Lapine Equipment. I met with them over there, and we walked around, and I finally got kind of apples and apples. The Vic's is $4,350. Mike Shields is $4,650, but the difference you'll notice is Mike's putting down 196 tons of rock. Vic's putting 140, so it's 56 less tons of material for $300 more. So I would recommend you do Lapine Equipment because you're getting a lot more rock. It's almost a 30% increase in the amount of rock.
Yeah.
And I, talked to Vic about the quantity of rock and the amount of rock. So I actually kind of went back and let everyone kind of, rethink what they think. And each guy gets to bid their thing, and Mike thinks you need this much rock to do it right, and Vic thinks you need that much rock. I know that 50 some tons of rock would cost you probably more than $300.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if I went to Mike and had him lower the tonnage, it maybe would come down some, but so it's pretty close anyway. So anyway, I'd recommend, if we're going to do it, or it's something you could do 6 months, a year from now, and
Well, didn't we plan on this?
It's just not in our contract or budget or anything. It's not in the bid with our...
That's what it was.
Yeah, it's not in our project or anything. It would have cost you more. They'd charge you $10,000 because they go out and analyze it and overhead it.
That brings up another question. If one says we need this much rock, and another says we need that much rock, and you award it to the person that has the less rock, and you find out you need more rock, what happens then?
We're in the hole.
We're in the hole.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like I say, if it was $1,000 difference, that's one thing. But for this amount of money, I would say add another 30% rock, because it's...
Well, a 10-yard truck's about $200.
Yeah, and it's important, you know, we make an effort to do things that we... Individuals have to decide, you know, it's judgment.
Yeah.
You know, one guy thinks one thing, one thinks another, and they, like I say, I actually talk to them about it, so they actually kind of have a second run at it. But this is what ultimately, as private business owners, they did and submitted, and so I would recommend, because of the additional rock, you're not paying very much for it, to go with fine equipment.
Okay, okay. A question, Rick. You had mentioned at one point of putting in some compost and stuff across the front out there.
Oh, some bark dust.
That's not part of it. Yeah, no, bark dust. Yeah, okay.
That what we would just do. If this was $1,000, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You know, but this is, you know, close to $5,000, so I
okay.
Just because it's also one we don't have to, you know, may say the city hall can open without it, but I just don't think you want people with high heels and older folks tripping over little berms.
And not with winter coming.
And with winter coming.
Yeah. Do you want a consensus or a
yeah, if you say, yeah, we can do a consensus, if you say go for it. Because I need to pick them, because we don't want to get it done before we open. So you got a couple weeks to.
Sure.
So I kind of have a question. Is the bid based on, kind of looks like it's based on a certain grade level, but then it's also based on how many tons of rock. I guess, I mean, is it not apples and apples?
As much as you can. I mean, we didn't write specs. They looked at it. And they both are putting 3 inches of gravel back. They're both using 3/4 minus. You know, it's like, when they're compacting it. Again, one person at a calculator says, when I roll it, it's going to compact this much.
Okay.
The other guy says this much. I told them I needed the tonnage because I didn't want, because it's easy to put less rock, because really what you're buying is rock. You know, you want to make sure you're getting rock there.
Yeah.
And so, originally, I didn't have the tons on here. So I went back and said, I want to know how much ton of rock you're putting down, because that's also one of the issues. One is the depth of the rock, the tons of rock, and so on. And the other thing is, one had bid 12,000 square feet at first, one bid 14,000 square feet, which means they're putting it in a bigger area, which is more rock. So I called them back, and I said, okay, let's go back to the same amount of square footage. And they're both doing 3 inches thick. And then, you know, at some point, like I say, they have to price it, and so this is how it came.
Okay, and it looks like on the Russells, it looks like that they're doing an extra deal of cutting a 6-inch deep something and then back filling again with base rock, and I don't see that on the
base rock is the 3/4 minus.
No, the 6-inch deep trench by the air conditioner?
Well, I think that's talking about the asphalt.
Asphalt.
That AC is asphalt. So right where the asphalt is right now, and it turns into dirt, gravel. I had some work done over there.
Okay.
They would cut a trench and put a deeper, because when the vehicle hits that, it's
so Vic's doing that, but Lapine Equipment's not doing that.
Yeah, he just put down how deep he was cutting it. They all would have to cut it.
One's cutting 6-inch. And one's
cutting
3.
So that comes down to how much they're going to compact it, right?
That's an important consideration in this dirt. In our dirt, it's not dirt. It's sand. If you know, especially in one of my acres, I put it down, and it's just barely visible. It just if you don't bed it and do it right, like compact it and that kind of stuff, you're gonna get a lot of sinkage.
I was gonna say that we have to remember that whole lot is compacted dirt. But then they built the building on it, so it has to move. So, neat subject.
Okay. Obviously, if we're going to build a building on it, you'd be doing it. This is just for overflow parking. Right. Yeah.
So, do we have a consensus for the city manager to proceed?
Yes. As long as you get receipts that shows the weight of the rock, you know, like when the trucks pick the rock up, they have to get a receipt.
Tell them they have to prove that you put that many times down.
Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be nice. I mean, it's a 6-inch at the pavement. The asphalt existing is a smart thing to do. Then maybe we should ask that be included on this bid if we're going to go this way.
Well, he thinks that that's good.
He thinks a 3-inch is good.
I mean, I guess, to be honest, Dan, I have a hard time going back a third time to make. We didn't write specs because this isn't that big of a deal in the sense of. In other words, when we built City Hall, we had pages of specs.
Yeah.
When you're doing smaller projects, Vic just did a $1,000 job for me for the city. You know, and you need to do what you think needs to make it right. And he went and did it. You know, if you're going to go out and bid, once you get above and you start getting into the $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 stuff, then you really, but you know, so this is their judgment of what's needed. And I went back and then made them get the same on the depth because one was 4 and one was 3. Then I got the square footage done. And at some point, you lose credibility, you keep going back and forth. Right. And you know, if you've ever bid stuff,
Yeah, I've done that forever, but the thing is, when we're looking at taking a higher bid, it ought to be at least comparable workmanship. You know, not workmanship, but specs.
We didn't spec it.
Okay.
So it's their judgment.
They did. That's all I'm saying is one of them says they're going to do a 6-inch, and one of them says a 3-inch, and we're going 3-inch and paying more money.
Because we're really buying rock. Mm-hmm. Rock's what you drive on.
Okay.
That, to me, is the issue. They're all going to be flat. They're all going to haul off the dirt. They're all going to roll it. They're all going to water it. One simply says, I'm going to cut it down a little, but I'm still only putting 3 inches in. In fact, one of my questions to him was, well, does that mean I'm going to have a lip? And he says, well, we'll go ahead and make it. You know, 3 inches isn't very much, but he is cutting it down 6 inches.
Okay. I just want to answer to people when they ask me why we took a higher bid.
It's 56 tons of rock.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's... You know, I could go back to Mike and say, now rebid this to me at 140 ton, and he's going to come back at $4,100 or something, and he buys the rock from Vic.
Well, that's why you get the receipt out of the weight.
Yeah.
So that you know that the rock is there.
Consensus?
Mm-hmm. Go with the stipulation that you have the receipts for the rock weight and everything, because rock isn't cheap.
Oh no.
So with that stipulation for me, then I'd go with Lapine Equipment.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I trust your judgment on it. It just feels a little weird.
But I know.
That's good.
We could have this debate over. When you have lots of time and you can sit and draw all this stuff out, when you have a public works department in any other city, you have someone that would say, they go over and they say, I want it 3 inches thick, I want it compact, you can get down to how much do you compact it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can spend a lot of money, you know, doing all of that. That's why under $5,000, I don't even have to come here.
No.
I do it out of respect for you guys to have this debate over the discussion. It's like the computers. You know, you get two different people bidding computers. One wants, I mean, it's, you know, at what point do you...
Yeah.
It's...
Well, and that's why it's an open meeting.
Yeah.
So you can have this discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's, I mean, I feel comfortable. Either one would do a good job. Vic did the cable subdivision. Vic just did the $1,000 job. I think we have a lot of companies in town. It's kind of nice to spread it around a little bit. You know, that's
okay.
Okay. So we'll do that. I like your idea of making them prove the tonnage. That's a good
one. Well, I mean, that's how
they're
going to
get the sense. That's how we bill people, so it's like,
yeah,
that's just normal.
Yeah. Okay.
So, the last under other matters was
Laura. Lori's here, Lori? So she can maybe introduce herself to folks that you guys, of course, interviewed. This is our new city recorder finance director, if you approve it. Again, I would have done that, but because I'll be leaving, and I think it's good for Lori to know that you folks are on board and you have, you know, received, you know, the information on it. The background, all of it is obviously, the specifics of it are public information, but everything checked out fine. She has no warrants. She was not on the sex offender list.
Or terrorism.
Or terrorism list. Her Social Security, her Social Security number does come back to her. And her address does go to her current address that she put down. And she has not wanted in any of the 50 states. we have no civil pending action in Multnomah County or Clackamas County or Washington County. So I think she came out pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And I did call references, and I talked to some of them, and I talked to the gentleman, I think it was at Portland State. It was your department head or something, and he called me back. You know, it's hard to get people. I was talking to the fire department in Bend now. They actually don't call. They just quit doing references because companies won't talk.
It's because they're a union.
People calling won't talk anymore. In other words, the person you call, they just say, they'll confirm that a person worked here because they don't. You don't get the people on the phone as much anymore saying, oh, I didn't like them, or they did a good job, or that. And so they're saying, because of people are so concerned over saying something that then bites them, that a lot of folks aren't. That's just one category, because, you know, you figure the friend, they're going to put down their friends anyway, and if it's someone that's going to say something negative, they don't say anything. They don't return the call. So I did get to talk to five folks, though, and from different companies. One was at the YMCA, and one was at the law firm, or the CPA firm she worked for. So what we plan on doing is we're starting November 1st, and she would work Monday through Thursday, work 32 hours a week, and then as the new manager comes in, as times, it could be 35 one week, but basically it'd be Tuesday through Friday, Monday off. And that way, then if Patty takes a Friday off, we got someone in the office, you know, 9 to 5. $17 an hour for our first 3 months as she gears up, and then we'll go to $19.50 an hour for the 3 month. At her 1 year anniversary, $21.50 an hour. We budgeted
$3,000 a month, $3,700.
That's the range we put. This comes out, well, one thing, she's working 32 hours, it really brings it down anyway. this would be $25,000 a year for the first 3 months if you annualize that. So we advertise it above that. In our budget, we have $34,000 budget. And, of course, we're 5 months into the year, so this year it'll come out to she's about $20,000. So we'll actually have $15,000 in savings because of when we're starting it. So it's within the range we advertise. She's accepted that. The we talked about the insurance before, $800 a month, you know, what we would contribute up to. And, of course, Patty, all those kind of benefits would go to anybody that works here. So Patty could add her husband if she wanted to, but it would be a cap at $800. And then the retirement would be 3%. And then if she wants to kick in, extra, we can do that up to 6. I did one thing variable I did do, and I put that in the email to you, but I put her at the second range of her vacation and PTO. So you don't start over like you're a first-year employee at this point in your life. You know, that no one does that. And so you're hiring someone with years of experience. And so I put her in the second category, which is 6 to 10 years, kind of in the scale. So she would have 18 days of PTO, which is vacation and sick leave. So you can look at it, 2 weeks vacation and 8 days of sick leave, or 8 days of vacation and 10 sick days. But a lot of you are used to 10 sick days and 2 weeks vacation, which is 20 days. So even by bumping her up, it's still, you know, that. So that's 18. But the other thing is I keep telling you, this will change with sewer and water coming. You know, your personnel policy a year from now will be different. So we have no idea what that will be. We're excited to have her. We need to get her going. And I think that for Lapine and someone that's here, has a residence already down here, you're getting a good bargain. You know, I mean, really, if she didn't have a place here, you know, I don't think you probably wouldn't be down here doing this. So I think it's a, Luana was making 20 an hour when she was here. So,
okay.
Anyway, if you want to tell them, maybe because you got the press here, then so that you just kind of who you are. She is a CPA, a licensed CPA. So, just tell them about yourself.
My name is Lori Martin, and I live in Hillsborough now, sort of. But I'll be down here full time as of November 1st. And let's see, I have 3 dogs and a couple of birds. I've got a husband who will follow me sooner or later. He's an artist. And we just, you know, want to make our residence here and be part of the community and just become involved.
Give Amber your degrees and where from and what you've been teaching.
I've got a bachelor's degree from Regis University and a master's degree from Merrillhurst University. They're both in business administration and accounting finance. I teach part-time at the University of Phoenix online classes, and I teach finance. And I've been in nonprofit accounting a lot. I teach nonprofit accounting occasionally at an undisclosed other Portland Community College. And I designed the class for that one. So I've also taught governmental, which kind of helps understand the municipality and the CAFRA that are issued. So some familiarity with that, but that's my new quest, is to learn that part of the accounting world.
And then learn the city recorder stuff. And I talked to the City Recorder Association, and we'll get her all signed up and let her start spend a lot of time, you know, learning these. It's a good few months before sewer and water get here to really get ramped up on all of this stuff. And,
yeah.
And I think it's exciting.
And I'm going to have lunch with Amber Ames, who's the Hillsborough City Recorder, and she's going to give me some more information.
Good.
So she's been a big resource for me, just getting to know some of the things that the City Recorder is responsible for. So to have met her acquaintance.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I think we could do a motion here to approve the hiring of this very talented lady.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Unanimous? Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm happy to hear you don't have any cats.
Her cat get from her house to town. It's a few miles down there, right?
Right.
Well,
okay.
I think she said she'd come down on Halloween and be here. That's the kind of person you want, mm-hmm. and that's what we're looking for. You know, out of the blue, she you know, hey, I'll come down and help do that
right.
before she starts. And she came down tonight, and I think that you're getting the full meal deal, and that's exactly what Lapine needs. And I'm excited to have her here. Mm-hmm. I'll only get to work with her for a couple months, but
you know, I think it does speak to the very fact that, you know, this is a kind of situation where the person needs to be community involved, have their heart in it, and we reckon, I know I recognize this when we went through the process, and I'm thrilled about it, and I think the citizens will recognize that very shortly. So okay, so all right. Any, we are now at public comments. Wayne, had you stand up?
In the front
first.
Row.
Yeah.
You can start in the front row if you like.
Wendy, please go ahead.
Yes, Wendy Korn, Newberry Eagle newspaper. And I'd like to ask one more question about item number 8. I know we got to go back in time here and reset, but it's quick and it's easy. You said that the company that will make the ordinances searchable, catalog them, et cetera, also reviews them legally. Will they be able to bypass the attorney from reviewing them? That's according to the process you described that we have now.
They won't bypass. What they would do after we approve them, because they don't even see them to approve, they don't look at them ahead. I think that what they do is, if they just see something that jumps out at them, they would simply notify us and say, you might want to check this. And then if it's something that our legal counsel agreed with, we can always go amend the ordinance.
Okay, so the attorney actually helps create
ordinances?
Right.
Yes.
Before it gets sent to this.
Oh, yes. They would get it after the fact.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the review part is
pretty minuscule.
Yeah. You know.
But they actually, a person looks at it.
Yeah.
And it's not just.
You know, an example, when the lady was here, she mentioned, she said that, well, I noticed, I mean, she's an attorney that came, and she said, well, I noticed your job announcement for the city manager said that they could live between Sun River, you know, Sun River and Lapine. And she said, do you realize that you'd have to let them do that because in your charter you adopted, it says under the city manager, residency is not required. I thought it was interesting that she went and dug up our charter, our new charter, and then she went and looked at our job, and she just said, you know, that's just an idea. That, in other words, if you passed an ordinance, that they check it to your charter, and if you pass an ordinance that doesn't match, it said, so, you know, you would have a hard time telling someone they had to live in the city of Lapine because your charter says they don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So it was kind of interesting.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wayne?
I have a statement and a question. My statement is, I am so incredibly excited about our new city hall, and I can't wait for it to open. The question is, are we having any kind of public celebration to usher in with the cheese and wine?
you read the email.
No, are we having something like that? Because I think we should really let it out.
Right. Today. My thought was, because today I'm kind of getting to where, you know, I've been around enough construction projects. When they say, you need to get the bugs out of things, and, you know, we want the bark dust in, and we want things done. So, while some people would like to have the public grand opening 2 hours after you move in, that's not wise. So, I also wanted to pick a night that other cities aren't meeting. They tend to meet on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. And so that other city managers or mayors could come down. So, I picked Thursday, the 7th, November
17th.
In the evening, from 5 to 7, exactly what you described, wine, cheese, and hors d'oeuvres. We'd invite all the mayors in Central Oregon and other folks around EDCOs, and like you said, the governor. I didn't attempt to put the list on
there, right.
But we'll send that out to folks, open to the public. And then the next day, and have like a dedication at 6 o'clock. where he'd actually dedicated some speeches by the mayor and some other folk, couple people, and, you know, it's a fun night. Then the next day, because a lot of people aren't into that, it's kind of for the masses, we would do 10 to 2 or 3, have a coffee cake, open house, put cake in a table in the city council chambers. The public throughout the day can just wander in and out. We'll take them on tours and talk to them on Friday. So we do it Thursday night and Friday, and it doesn't goop up anybody's weekend and allows to say, and we got a couple weeks in there to get the bugs out of things and make sure it's all going. That was my thought.
Yeah, and the part, Wayne, is we're going to close City Hall on the 27th, 8th, and 9th, and the 31st, which is a Monday, and we're going to do some moving, and I had, you know, during that period of time, and then open on Tuesday morning on the 1st. So that's all, that whole piece of the moving and packing and everything is laid out in this email that he described the rest of it. So
see, and we have two. One, our auditors are here, so we're trying to do them here. They're coming in on Monday or Tuesday, 24th, 25th.
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yeah. So the auditors are here. They're coming late. I told them we're in the middle of a move. So the things they need, we'll let them sit here, and you know, they'll get the files they need. But we will be moving out. We're going to be out of here November 1st and clean. The county seems to be really, obviously they let us stay a day or two longer, but they seem to be very anxious, the staff in here is. But the part of it is getting all the computers hooked up. There is no way to just shut down here and open up there an hour later. We only have one phone system and so on. So we will, I've ordered up the phone. The phones will go live over there a few days ahead of that, and while ours are still live here and so on. But we will need to, you know, close. So we actually were closed for 3 days. And having moved over, and then Monday that's Halloween, to make sure we got everything going. We've ordered our server, which you did tonight, and that will become. It takes 2 weeks to get it, and our server here is getting old and stuff. So we'll be getting a new server, and then you know, everything from the wireless internet hookups to things, and you name it. I have not yet ordered a couple of desktop type computers and stuff, but you know, that's pretty easy to get those pretty fast. So the sign on the city, yesterday, last night at 7, I was here working on what you want to say on the door. I mean, once you go to move, it's like, do you put a phone number, do you put the address, do you put, so I've been working with the folks on that. The back door, which is the street, someone comes up, they need to know, please use other side. And so, you know, you have to sit and figure out what you want all those things to say. And I did all of that. And I did on the council door, on the front door, there's a double door. I did on the bottom half, list the mayor and the council members. And so every 2 years you would have to change that out theoretically. But I've seen that before. You don't get a lot of recognition. People don't know who you are always. And so, we'll have the address. We will have phone number, website, that kind of stuff. And then, under Lapine Council Chambers, and I put, you know, mayor and council and so on. You guys can always change
it. Can we vote not to have our names on?
Are you sure?
No.
if you don't want your name there, you don't have to. You'll be able to change all that when I'm gone. and we're going to have black kind of channel letters on the street side above the door. The door will say City Hall in between two lights, and that kind of limited us. I couldn't put Lapine there. The sign out front will say Lapine, City of Lapine, and then with an address, and then it'll say City Hall on the parking lot side above the door. It said Council Chambers in channel letters above the door to the council room, and the other side will just say Lapine City Hall. And so it'll look good when you walk up to the double doors and everything. And that's going to cost, I think, about $2,300 or something for all the lettering and the signs and things from Renee. I'm trying to keep everything pretty local. Mm-hmm. In fact, I am now, that, and that causes unique challenges, but mm-hmm. I'm doing that. And it's actually worth the challenge.
How Mayor? Much, Kitty Shields, 515-400 Shields Drive, how much physical stuff is there to move, and do you need muscle power for that? Do you need people power?
I have that taken care of.
Okay.
Yeah. You got a couple, but two, you said.
No, I've actually got three.
Wait, did you have someone that...
Well, yeah, my 6'2" son, who's very strong, and his fiance, who has a waist to big round, but she's got some muscle, and she's not afraid of work.
How old are your folks? No, don't answer that question.
I thought that was leading...
Well, no, it's probably illegal to ask.
Oh, they're volunteer.
You're volunteer. Oh, they're volunteer. These are volunteers.
I did, and
thank you very much, Kitty. It's a great offer, and we appreciate it. So, if you want to have them call me, and you know, I'll keep them posted on the details.
What are your moving days?
Friday mostly.
Yeah.
Friday.
Yeah.
We have trailers, and well, you know, we'll take a couple of old desks, put them upstairs. Some of the desks we may just leave here to the county. We don't need to be hauling stuff that we don't want. There's a couple of desks we're keeping, you know, we'll take the little conference table and put it upstairs over there, and things like that. You know, it seems like there's more to move than you realize when you start moving things, yeah. Because there's, you know, I brought down a bunch of plastic containers. She's been taking stuff off the wall and different things. We're throwing out some stuff. We have to go through maps and things, and you know, we don't need the wall divider that's in there between her and I, any of that stuff. You know, I don't know. We'll leave it. I guess let the county have it. Because we also need to store the stuff. Because one thing that building has is dividers. Go upstairs.
Yeah.
You can have eight people sitting up there.
Yeah.
All divided.
Well, because if you want it moved all at once, I've got the box for that. Just like we did when we moved in.
How about, you know, Stu, will you... How much of a tilt does that get? Is it too bad or not too bad?
Our driver, what?
You know,
tilt?
Yeah, you know when you lift it.
He can put it at about any tilt you want.
Well, no, I don't, but you don't. Does it?
No, no, it doesn't go straight up. It, you can come off almost
pretty
flat.
Oh.
And then down.
Well, I'll let you and Ken coordinate that.
Okay, great.
Yeah. There it is. We used it to move in everything from Sister City Hall to the Johnson building over there.
Okay.
And we've moved everything for the Park and Rec District.
Super.
You know, we'll take the file drawers out, set the file drawers in, so we can leave the stuff in the drawer.
Right.
You can't move the file cabinet always with the stuff in them.
Right.
They're pretty heavy.
Right.
But,
Do you want to think about at the same time securing that storage room? Because there's not much there.
If there's time, I mean... My brain will probably be over here setting things where we want stuff. And so it's hard for me to take time to go worry about an old storage shed. I've never been in it.
Yeah.
So if you've got your crew, we don't need the storage. We just don't need to become a warehouse for a bunch of used stuff. Take it down to the St. Vincent de Paul, let them sell it or something. I don't know where we got this stuff.
Okay, Mr. Mayor. Could you have a committee or something that could meet after our meeting? So that the folks that don't want to listen to this can get our meeting over with.
Yeah. Sure.
I can just leave.
Okay.
All right. We move right along because we know what's coming. Are there any further public comments? Hearing none, I'll move to committee reports that are planned to be short and sweet.
See, that's why. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, you know, it's a discussion we need to have. It's okay. We it's a big deal. We're moving.
Yeah. I'm excited.
You got to spend some time on that, actually.
Yeah.
You waiting for me?
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to tell everybody that we had our Small Cities Network meeting here. We went over a few things. We had a whole busload of people take the tour, and all I heard was good comments, and I'm real proud of that. I would like to see the city
send a letter to both High Lakes Christian Church thanking them for the use of their van, and to Charlene Lester, who drove the van. And I would also like to see in Charlene's letter a $50 gift certificate from the Mexican food restaurant here, because I don't know if you know her or not, but if you remember about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a horrific head-on collision on Highway 58 where a mid-state truck was involved. Her husband was one that was killed, and she has 3 children, and she's raising those by herself. It would just be a nice gesture to say thank you to her. I have the information here if it's agreeable with the council. The other thing is, I did go to the COIC meeting, and basically we went over a little bit about the master plan, and COIC has a grant for $110,000 to prepare that master plan, and $125,000 grant for a company to do the technical work. So that's in the map, the plan. And we talked about new park and ride locations, and Commissioner Unger said that he was praised by our mayor that we needed one at State Park Road and Highway 97, and he asked them to include that in the program. And with that, Les Schwab, I don't know if you know it or not, laid off 15 security guards, and they hired a security service. And some of the guards that were hired were for the service was former Les Schwab guards. But the reason I bring that up is because our workforce group is training those who didn't have other jobs to find another job in the community. So I think it was a pretty productive meeting. That's 45 minutes.
Who was the church? High Lakes
Christian Church. High Lakes Christian Church.
Pat, I just emailed you if you get those get the thank yous ready for those for the High Lakes. She has not. But Patty will type out the thank yous.
Okay.
And it's on the tape who they went to.
Okay. And I don't need to write them?
No. Well, you can.
No. I'd be glad to just sign.
So I'm going to let Patty.
That was because when I was I thought I was talking to the bus driver and it was a male.
Well, you must have been talking about the one that went for the
Leibert City.
Oh, okay.
This was for just
before that.
Yeah. And I don't think League of Oregon City had High Lakes Church written on their bus either.
No, didn't pay any attention.
It was a van.
High
Lakes Christian had a van. Big van.
Yeah, it was big.
Not as big as the League of Oregon.
One was just a church van.
Just a regular van. I think what? 12-passenger van, something like that. I know it was full and overflowing, and I took 2 in my car when I found out that they couldn't hardly get in and out of the car.
Can we discuss the gift certificate?
Maybe we could talk. We'll look into that.
Okay.
We have 2 Mexican restaurants. Do you know which one we...
You guys just take it.
We have to the city manager. The League of Oregon Cities Conference, the tour down here, I would like to ask Councilor Dan to give us a... He was on the bus.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. We had a full blast of breeze, and it was really, I felt like it was a real honor that we had as many people. I think that bus held 30 people and it was full, so we had a good turnout. On the way down, we had a chance to talk about the Highway 97 improvement up here between, Sun River Bend, Sun River, and down. And then Terry Myers told them a little story about the history of Lapine, and they were pretty well entertained with that. And then we talked about the geothermal exploration up on the planet as we were coming by there. And we went over, took them to Mid-State, in the Mid-State building, they did a tour. They split up and went two different ways and tours of that building, and those people were so impressed, had so many questions, I could hardly get them out of that building. They were so impressed with the state-of-the-art construction and LEED certified building that that is, and how conservative they operate the whole company. At that location, we also had a presentation on the BioGreen Sustainable Energy project, and that was interesting. Some of those people had different experiences, and they were kind of, you know, batting that around. But that was interesting. And when we came over to the new our new city hall, and I think we made some of them kind of jealous. Yeah,
no doubt.
Our mayor met him and gave him a nice chat, you know, it was a little unfortunate the timing wasn't further along, but you know, got him. They had a chance to see that there was work being done, and it was neat. So then we went back out to the Little Deschutes Lodge, and again, we had to keep them moving to get back. They had to be back there then by 4 o'clock, and they didn't want to leave. I mean, Rob Roy started talking, they were so fascinated with all the aspects of the ways that's heated, and I think it costs like $300 a month to heat the whole building or something, and so it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And so on the way back out, they heard more about the geothermal project, and they started making comments like, "We will never look at Lapine the same way again." And they had no idea there was anything off of Main Highway 97, and because we drove them around both sides in the process, I think it caused us to really be proud of our town from the comments that they made. You know, it was all real positive. I mean, you know what they said? They said, "You guys are so progressive down here." I didn't know if that was I didn't know how to take that for sure, but it sounded like it was a positive thing, so it is neat. Yeah. We also stopped at the Roslyn School. The kids out there are putting together a nursery, a little garden, and it's going to have greenhouses and stuff, and one of the teachers came out and explained how that's going to go together, and of course that school is beautiful, and so it was a neat experience for me to be able to share that with them and be a part of that. Anyway.
And if I could add to that, we know that Adele McAfee, counselor, really put that all together, spearheaded it, and being part of the hosting, mm-hmm. And it was a terrific idea, pulled it all together, and this is a great result. So, and I would add to that the fact that the League of Oregon Cities, when I got up there, there was a bunch of people came up to me and just continued that, wow, what a place you've got. I had no idea, Now I know just to turn off of 97, and it was just continuous. There was, a number of them continually. So I think we made an impression, and that's really what we need to always think about doing, mm-hmm. joining in those kinds of things with partners to do this.
You know, another comment that made me really proud, and I told Kim this already, but I think it's the mayor from Lakeview, was
Mike.
He started it, and he wrote back with it. He's one of them that said, "Well, I'll never look at Lapine the same way." He said, "You know, you got to be friends with your mayor," and when he took a trip down, your mayor and his wife stopped, and we had dinner or something. We spent some time. We stopped at our home and in Lakeview, and we got to know them, and we consider them really good friends now. And I thought, that is just what we need, is ambassadors like that. And I was really proud to hear that kind of feedback, because I don't know that you get that a whole lot. Maybe you do. You guys have been around, but it's really cool to see those relationships building with other communities and people in those communities like that.
Yeah. So thank you,
Dan.
At this, for your information too, at the COIC meeting, there were some people that had gone on the tour, and they were really impressed with Lapine. And one person that was there said, "I didn't go on that trip, but somebody else I knew did, and I wish I'd have gone on it." evidently, you made a big splash with everybody up there.
I think the word will pass around, and I was glad that Ben's tour was a tour of the roundabouts. And I was feeling sorry for those people. And they said it might be kind of a fast tour, and the guy, he holds up a bar thing, the guy that's going to do the tour, because the people are going to go around these roundabouts. I thought, that's great, you know. I think we outshone them, is what I'm saying.
Well, you know, Dale put a lot of work into this, yes, and you know, she was there at the counter a lot at the conference, you know, the Leroy Cities wasn't that excited about coming here originally, and I think Adele kept on them because they were looking about going to Redmond and, you know, with the roundabout. And this was 30 miles away, a little further than they're used to going on a tour. But I think Adele hung in there, and because she got on that committee, made a difference. And I think you win what you're saying here, and what by the mayor, it's everyone wins this one person at a time.
Yep.
You know, it's relationships, it's showing off some of these good things. So those 10 people tell 10 other people, and that's how we're going to get here. We know everyone that's just driving through, we know what they think. And we have to just break that cycle, and it's a long process, but this building will do that.
And I was going to say, that paint scheme turned out beautiful.
Yes. Hey, when you go over next week, when you stop by there, you know, before we're open, but you go in and it's looking very nice. I mean, I was in there today, and I'm like, well, this is nicer than I thought it was going to be. But because the colors, I always tell me, do not talk to me about a color, because I don't do colors. But it's looking good.
Very nice.
And, you know, so I had to go over there today and, you know, talk to them about different little things, where to put this plug in and how you label this plug and that plug and different things. But it's looking very, the carpet's all down, the countertop on the council thing, the public's going to love that council. And they put the metal things up there. There's some art basically that's up there that, like I say, it's more for the, to make it look neat, and they're going to have to come paint that now. But they're up there hanging lights behind these little pieces of metal and stuff, and this is all to light up around the edges and do some things, people are going to like it. And it's also not over the top. It doesn't look like you're walking into Congress.
Yeah.
To where it's a marble, there's enough wood to show the pine, and yet it demands respect. It will, you walk in that front office and you come in, you will know that you're in. I was thinking that this then is a city. Mm-hmm. And people will know that.
Yeah.
Compared to today, him and I had a meeting, and where did we go? Down the hallway, where Kitty and I used to have to meet, in the hall down here in two chairs, because this was taken. So, you know, and yesterday ODOT came, Gary Farnsworth and them, when we were talking about a lot of projects. This room was taken, so we had to go sit in the middle of the office. Well, then the sign lady comes in to see me. I'm sitting there with him. Well, then they want to, you know, it just doesn't work. So this is going to be nice. Everyone's going to be proud.
Yep.
And the contractor has done a good job, and so has the architect.
Yeah.
And the paint, I was worried about the outside paint, but it has turned out.
Has the furniture got here yet?
No, because it wasn't supposed to, and I haven't actually ordered some of the desks, but the council room chairs and all that, they were going to be here. I made it to where it's like the 25th, 26th. So we want to make sure you can unload them over there, and you know, it's ready to go. But they'll be here. So our first meeting, the 26th, we'll have a work session. And on that agenda will be an hour or so of ODOT on WIKIUP. That'll be our last meeting here, because we close the next morning. And Justin Cutler on some parks. They want to establish some rules in the parks, and also just talk about the parks. And he's never come here for an actual presentation to us, you know, since in the year and a half I've been here. So Justin will take like a half hour. So we'll. But the real thing of that night is ODOT. And the deal with that is Ken and I met with them yesterday. And WIKIUP Junction, they want to come. They brought me the resolution. The council in 08, Kitty, or 09, approved a resolution supporting the design, basically, of what they have designed. So, because Farnsworth had come to me and said, look, I want to come do a presentation at the council meeting to get you to support WIKIUP. And I said, well, why, you know, that's more than a 15-minute meeting. And so I said, you know, I don't want to have, I just don't know where to go with that. So he was pretty adamant that, you know, if you think we're changing the design at this point, that's not going to happen. Because, you know, we've already went through a whole vetting process. And he then showed up with, yesterday, a resolution passed. And when you get these projects that take 5 and 10 years, councilmen come and go, and they can't re-debate the issue every year. And so under Kitty's leadership, they did approve a plan. And I think Gordy seems to be fine with it. Actually, works pretty well for him. And now I realize that, because I was thinking, oh my God, what's Gordy going to say? Sure. But actually, it's great for Gordy. And that's probably why we haven't heard much. So the plan's kind of approved. Of what the deal is, if, you know, Obama's talking about another stimulus package. Now, the Republicans are saying no. But these things all work their way through. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of it's infrastructure. And the state of Oregon has kind of decided that you know, this could be one, when they get, you know, the state, this is a fake number, but the state gets $250 million to put toward projects. Because this is the only railroad crossing from border to border, and they have to be what they kind of call shovel ready. In other words, all the planning is done. The public hearings are over. They want to make sure that everybody's on board. So if that comes along, that could snake $20 million and build that. It's got the support of the people at Salem at headquarters to include that in a list of the ones that can be funded. So they want to come in and make sure that the new council and everyone is aware of just what that project is and how it would go. We do not have to vote. It's already, they passed actually a resolution saying that we are on board with ODOT and the county supporting this. Do you remember it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Luana was really a very good advocate for Lapine and what we needed in that area. She gave a lot of good input at various meetings on that. She did.
And then the other thing about ODOT, which won't really be that mean, but you might tell them that we did say that we supported a traffic signal over a two-phase project.
Right. They wanted confirmation about where we wanted to go. And the idea was, they presented the idea of doing, spending the $400,000 that they have seeded for starting it, we'll call that phase one. And they wanted an input whether we wanted to do phase one and then phase two, and we made it very plain, straightforward, that no, we don't want this in pieces. We want it as the whole thing at one time. And they committed to going off, talking to the people, you know, within their organization here in Region 4 to bring that about.
Yeah.
So there's no misunderstanding, and he asked, he was willing to take my assurance that the council would favorably consider, while I didn't speak totally for the council, I felt that I could say that that we want it all at one time.
Yeah.
Because we all know that if it went through phase one, we could be 10 years before we saw a traffic signal. And when I assured him of that and Rick laid it out, they went up with that goal in mind. And I think that's exciting too, because we're not talking about a lot of money. I mean, we're not. We're talking about $1.2 million. And we know that, based upon a lot of information we have, that's not a lot of money for them to find to make it all happen. And they went off very strong on that. Without going into a great deal of the discussion, they went off very strongly convinced that this is what we're going to have to do. Good. So I left that meeting feeling very good. So
let's hope that they can
keep going.
Yeah.
It was funny when we did this League of Oregon Cities tour. We pulled through that intersection from McDonald's side to come through to. We kind of show the challenge we had. Wouldn't you know it, there was no traffic.
That's converse to when the city manager took the ODOT and the trucking industry down there and almost...
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah, it was so bad that...
The last comment under staff comments we had our first transition meeting today. We went for a couple hours with sewer and water, and so we had Donna here, we had Scott here. The mayor was here for an hour. Wayne was here for the whole time, as I was. And I was very well. I think that it by having, especially for Scott, who hasn't had the one-on-ones, it kind of humanizes the discussions. And in fact, he commented how, you know, this is what we need to do, and that, you know, folks aren't the villains that maybe, yeah. You know, you know, what we're doing is this basic. We started, what time do you come to work? What time do you clock in? What time do you start getting paid? What time does the crew come? When do you go to lunch? How long's lunch? Do you all meet together for lunch? I mean, we walked through the day, and then we did, when you're about pumping tanks, where do you start in the morning? And where do you go, and how many? And how many do you do in the winter? And how many do you do in the summer? And how many commercials? And you know, we just went through everything. And the next meeting will be the trucks, the fleet, the buildings,
infrastructure.
That infrastructure stuff. And then we're going to move into the office and, you know, understanding the call-out. I had them bring me the W-2s of each employee, of what the last 2 years they were actually paid, because you can look at their salary, and then you figure out how much of it's comp time over or overtime and call-out pay, and how many times are they called out? So great, they're on call for a week. The little things we found out, they all have company cell phones issued by the districts. And we're not putting value on any of these things, you know, but each employee has a cell phone paid for by the district. They are paid for lunches. They don't, when they take their half hour lunch, they are on the clock. They don't get lunch hour or lunch away. So you find out things that are, you know, just you weigh all of these things as you a public entity and how what's normal. Patty does not get paid at lunch.
What?
No public employees get paid at lunch. So you know it's going to be interesting down the road, because you really, as one city, you do have to treat people the same. You can't have Patty not getting paid at lunch and the three people out there getting paid at lunch. So that's why we're going through this exercise. And so we're going to learn a lot.
If you'd like, I've got a comment on the sewer department. The senior center today had a big problem with the grease trap outside. And we didn't know exactly what to do, so I called up the sewer and water department. Wasn't an hour till there was somebody there. Two guys came out, they looked over, they said, it needs to be pumped. And I said, well, we'd like to have it done at your convenience. He said, I'll be back in 10 minutes. Well, it wasn't 10 minutes, but it was 45 minutes. And they pumped it out, they did a heck of a job. They explained things to me that I didn't know about it and what we needed to look out for. So I was really happy with the two employees that showed up and their attitude and everything. They were really helpful and did a good job for us.
Thank you for that feedback. That's what I'm stressing every time I talk to these people. Mm-hmm. You know, we're here for the public and we want to make you happy.
And Scott today, they actually are over in Huntington Meadows putting up, they're putting up their first street signs for us. So they actually, what Scott said, you know, let us start stuff now. He's, you have, your IGA lets us. And so they're going over, they put the bases in for the signs, their neighborhood watch signs. So Scott was telling me how deep they were going, and they were going to pour the concrete on those, and he wanted to know about how high the post should be, and he ordered a couple extras in case we need some other signs. And he picked that kind of post because he noticed that's what most of them in town were. You know, so he was thinking about
connection, yeah.
What we're using. And we talked about all kinds of stuff. So I think, to a degree, I think they're kind of excited. And you know, there'll be some rough spots with all of this for sure. But it's going to work out good. And they got some time, I think, to work on some other things. And they want to.
Good.
So we'll meet every Wednesday. And then next Tuesday's the board meeting.
Do that.
And off and running. And then on as far as the transfer of the USDA, Jeremy and I met yesterday, and we have the majority of the items, this big long list from Pam Swires. The majority of it's pretty well done. Donna's helped a lot. And then we are going to meet next
Tuesday?
Tuesday. With Christy Munson, their attorney, is coming over from Eugene, and Jeremy. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be meeting at Jeremy's office to talk about the transition and the legal aspect of it to make sure that that's all happening.
Is that this coming Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to talk about timeline and a plan. I mean, I hope that's what we're at.
Yeah, and one of them is the dissolution of the districts. It's a requirement. Well, how do you get rid of the districts? And that will come after we merge, but it's all part of the things you have to think about. And there's plenty of time for that. But there's a lot of issues with it, and that's why I've kind of told the mayor I'm not taking on more projects between trying to move to a new city hall, get her going, hire a new city manager, and work this transition stuff. That's really where the priorities need to be. I mean, we need to start making a list. And a lot of it sounds like, well it's only a thank you or two. Well, just like the proclamation. Well, I will have to work on that. You know, and then you just don't do those in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so, that one I'm going to do. I don't have time to write thank yous and things and lots of little. I got a complaint again on the flea market. Well, I cannot deal with the flea market. I mean, there just is no way that you're going to have full staff starting in January, and but we've got to work on this sewer and water thing.
Yeah.
And all the other things we're finishing up.
Actually, I think you do, because it doesn't look like much when you're on the ground, but there's never a dull moment. There's stuff that just keeps popping up and rolling, and I think that we've got a couple of bombshells that are going to hit relatively quick as far as labor relations and a contract and things of that nature. We're going through our audits, and that's going to be presented, and so it's like there are some big things on our agenda that we have to coordinate with the city.
I'd like to say that, and Stu was there, we were at the Liggy meeting the other day, and they were talking about having a retreat, and they wanted the city to be there and everything, and I cautioned them there based on that conversation you and I had about, Rick's got 80 days, less than 80 days left, and he has a list, and there's no more room on the plate, and those things are going to get done, and so we need to be very careful about how we
allocate
ideas and expectations, because there's just no time for it. So I did make that comment at Liggy, and they pretty much accepted that. So
yeah, I mean it's only a 2-month wait for a lot of things, and that's what I told the Historical Society. They want this, and I said, they don't need to wait for
the new
folks. And the danger is that person, when they arrive, you can't flood them with all of these things. But we've got to get our retirement thing going. We have to get a new software system. Today, one of the bidders on that, they emailed me and said, you haven't called us yet to talk about the software we bid on. I said, I haven't had time to go through the software. I have not looked at our manager applications. That, and that's something you think, oh, you're so curious. We have 26. And I have looked at 3 or 4. I couldn't tell you who's in there because I haven't had time to sit and look through all of those because I don't have to yet. So there's just a lot going. So, and then this moving, if I'm going to come up here on Thursday and Friday for that moving, then come back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for my part-time job, I can only, pretty much, we're done.
Would it help if we had Roger come down and help go over those applications and take some of the load off of you?
No,
I'm not trying to be smart. I just wondering if that would help.
No. Well, Roger and I were together for 2 hours this week already. So, I was with Roger yesterday. Well, Roger will be involved, but I mean, this is our process, and we have to, I mean, you know, it's just, and Roger, well, I'm going to run all the names by him, but, you know, yeah, it doesn't, it's just that what I'm saying is I got to stick to these topics that we have,
yeah, right.
And while you come up with something that sounds like it's just a letter here, or a grant here, or you letter today you talked about for the health clinic, you know, I can't write letters supporting the health clinic.
Yeah.
Because they take time to do them right, and so we just have to stick to the things we have. And the other thing I have to do is get stuff ready for the new person, because I got tons of stuff on here that I need to get into shared files, clean up stuff where I have like 3 drafts. Well, they don't need draft 1. I have to go make sure so that when they're all here, they can go in and hunt under things and find them. And you know, that's going to take me some time to get that moved off of, because a lot of stuff is only on this laptop. She has copies, obviously, of anything that we've approved and everything, but you need some of the background and some of the other stuff, so I have to do that. So anyway, it's going to be fun, but I will have a busy, wind down,
yeah.
Which I'm not going to get to wind down. But I will probably take that week of Thanksgiving off, because I'm going to do so much for the moving ahead of that.
Right.
And then the week between Christmas and New Year's, probably. And go from there.
Having concluded our council meeting agenda, I would ask for a motion to adjourn.
Make
a
motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Apologies
for coming.
We're adjourned.
Did she give you your 59s or any of that?